Well, it's really good to see you today. I didn't think Kimmy was coming, but she did show up. She kept telling me she wasn't going to be here today. We've been waiting to start our series here on gossip, and I think you're going to find that it's going to be a lot deeper than what you expected. It might be more challenging. But hopefully we can have a little bit of fun with some things, but then also seriously in our heart we can really surrender to what God has called us to do. Again, I'm so glad you're here today. We're going to start off with Proverbs in chapter 18 and verse 8. And the title of the message today is Acceptable Sins. We're part one, and this is Choice Morsels. Choice Morsels. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 8, the word of God says, the words of gossip, of a gossip, are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost parts. All right. What's a choice morsel for you? I love a good, hot, fresh pizza with everything on it. And I don't even need, like a monocle is a square piece. It's not even a big slice. But that is a choice morsel. Man, like, oh, yes. So good, right? What is the choice? Maybe some of you are sugar people. Do we have any sugar people in the building? I know some of them by name. And it's like whenever Abby and Ethan brought in those Penn Station cookies, those were choice morsels. Those things were just like, oh, those are so good, right? Look at the scripture today. The words of a gossip are like what? They're like choice morsels. For some people, and for many people, but for some people, gossip is a huge temptation because to receive gossip is almost as good or better than getting a bite of your favorite food or your favorite food item. It's just that good to them. And the Lord is telling us that we have to be careful because that gossip will go down. I want to start off with an illustration from Jim Cimbala. I thought it was so good. And he's if you guys ever heard of Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir, famous choir back in the day, Jim Cimbala is the pastor of that church, okay? He says, about 20 years ago, I said something impromptu to the new members standing in a row across the front of the church. As we received them, the Holy Spirit prompted me to add, quote, and now I charge you that if you ever hear another member speak an unkind word or of criticism or slander against anyone, myself, an usher, a choir member, or anyone else, that you stop that person in mid-sentence and say, excuse me, who hurt you? Who ignored you? Who slighted you? Was it Pastor Cimbala? Let's go to his office right now. He'll apologize to you, and then we'll pray together so God can restore peace to this body. But we won't let your talk critically about people who aren't present to defend themselves. He goes on to say, I'm serious about this. I want you to help resolve this kind of thing immediately. And know this. If you are ever the one doing the loose talking, we will confront you. And to this day, every time we receive new members, I say much the same thing. Now look here. That's because I know what most easily destroys churches. It's not crack cocaine, government oppression, or even a lack of funds. Rather, it's gossip and slander that grieves the Holy Spirit. Wow. Something kind of funny got all of a sudden real serious, didn't it, right? Now, here's what I want to take us today. We're going to be on a journey. This is a very different kind of message today. The message today is really to make you think, all right? I want to kind of stir your mind up a little bit. I want to challenge a little bit of how you define some things. And I want to push you into a place of deeper submission and surrender to the Lord Jesus. The whole world is in chaos right now, right? And you're probably thinking, in the middle of all this stuff in the Middle East and all these big activities, why are we going to address gossip and acceptable sins? But what I want to really push on all of us today is because I don't think we're just talking about one single sin or one single idea, but what we're looking at is this idea of really submitting and surrendering our life to what the Lord has for us. The idea of fighting acceptable sins is actually a very important part of the Christian life, and everybody in here today, no doubt, we all have acceptable sins in our lives, right? Hello? What we find, what I find, I think, is we have these acceptable sins because we usually refrain from defining them with biblical words, or we add adjectives to them to lighten the impact. So let me give you an example. We don't say lust. We say what? I'm not trying to be crude, ladies, okay? But to get the men in the audience to pay attention to me this morning, well, they might say, well, I'm only window shopping. There's nothing wrong with window shopping. And we kind of joke about it, and we kind of lighten it, because what we don't want to do is, well, if we call it what it is, then we're in trouble, right? So we redefine it. We don't say drunkenness, but what do we say instead? We say bust. I want to be real clear. The Bible is absolutely clear that drunkenness is against God. It's hurtful to you. It's hurtful to many others. But if we redefine it, then all of a sudden it starts to become acceptable or palatable. You guys tracking with me so far? Right? Okay. Let me give you another one. We don't say lying. We say what? Well, it's just a little white lie. If you'd have seen what she came in with and what she looked like that day, there was no way I could tell her that she looked fine, but I had to say, oh, you look lovely. Right? Acceptable sin. Let me give you two more. This next one is one that's really been hitting me. The Lord's been all over me. We don't say greedy. What do we say? We say ambitious. Amen? You guys, I'm telling you, oh man, we were at this wedding, of all places, for the Lord Jesus to show up at a wedding, right? And Wendy's cousin Blake and Lindsay are saying, having their ceremony and their vows. And one of the vows was basically, don't let your life be about money. And all I had been doing that morning was thinking through my Fidelity app and looking at how these stocks worked and how this stuff happened. And it just, the Lord kind of began to crush me. And like, I was hoping to just have an opportunity to educate myself, but it could easily become my ambition, right? And so, and especially in a capitalistic culture where we're really driven to succeed and where we're basically pushing ourselves to end up with some big nest egg so we can have the great life like some of our folks do, right? We can really become obsessed with money, but we won't call it greed, will we? We'll call it something else. We'll call it being prepared or planning or being ambitious. The last one here is we don't say prideful. We say self-confident, right? Again, what I hope you're seeing here is there are some fine lines here, right? We want our kids to have confidence in themselves, correct? We want them to be strong and be able to do that, right? We want people that have drive and ambition and to use that drive and ambition for Jesus, right? Okay? We want people that can be in all kinds of scenes and settings and minister in love and still keep control of their bodies. But what I'm telling you and myself today is we have to be careful when something we really know is sinful and we let it become palatable until it becomes accepted. Okay? Now, you're going to have to hang with me here this morning. This is going to be quite the journey. All right? I think you're getting the idea. But if we would define things the way God does, it might help us to live the kind of surrendered life he is looking for. And I want to be so careful. I can't say this enough. I am not trying to add guilt or shame to your plate today. Okay? I'm not coming to you like looking at you like, oh, you're a pretty good person, but let me tell you this is where you're really struggling. Here's where you're messed up. Here's where you could be better. I'm not coming at you today to tear you down or to add guilt or shame to your life. But I want you and me to be reminded of the fact that if we accept the acceptable sins, we're missing out on the joy of a completely surrendered life to the Savior. There's immense joy when everything you have is given to Jesus, okay? But I do want to be careful about this idea of making you a slave. So hear this little illustration, and I think it'll convey the idea very well. Max Lucado tells the story of being dropped by his insurance company because he had one too many speeding tickets. Probably not the first preacher with the speeding problem. He had a minor fender bender that wasn't his fault, and one day he received a letter in the mail informing him to seek coverage elsewhere. As he reflected on how he wasn't good enough for his insurance company, the spiritual tie-in was too obvious. Many people fear receiving such a letter from God, Lucado writes. Some worry they may already have. He then imagines this correspondence straight from the Pearly Gates underwriting division. Dear Mrs. Smith, I'm writing in response to this morning's request for forgiveness. I'm sorry to inform you that you have reached your quota of sins. Our records show that since employing your services, you have erred 7 times in the area of greed, and your prayer life is substandard when compared to others of like age and circumstance. Further review reveals that your understanding of doctrine is in the lower 20th percentile, and you have excessive tendencies to gossip. Because of your sins, you are a high risk candidate for heaven. You understand that grace has its limits. Jesus sends his regrets and his kindest regards and hopes that you will find some other form of coverage. This is how it goes for a slave who constantly lives in fear, not knowing enough, not doing enough, not ever measuring up. Today, I want to remind you, we are not slaves, okay? We live in abounding grace. Are you tracking with me? All right, you got to walk with me in this, because some of you, you're going to take this message and you're going to hear it and you're going to say, okay, this is me be a better person message. I'm going to work harder. I'm going to do more. I'm going to stop this. I'm going to do that. That is not what I'm talking about at all today. What I'm talking about today is you and I really giving ourselves completely to what God has for us. So again, don't turn this series into a how I can be better thing. But in forsaking the acceptable sins and completely surrendering to the Savior, we can find a real joy and a trust that will be contagious. And if you'll bear with me today, there's two very simple things that at its core, I believe, are a matter of fighting against acceptable sins. And the first one of those things is submission. Submission to truly surrender all of your life to the Lord's leadership, to follow where he leads, and to abandon what he says to abandon, and to chase what he says to chase. Are you hearing me today? I don't care about your opinion. Whoa, right? And you shouldn't care about mine. I want to do what the Lord said do. The Lord said he loves this, I want to love that. And the Lord said he hates this, I want to hate that. And if he says get away from this, I want to run as fast as I can. And if he says go to this, I'm going to run as fast as I can. Because he said it, and he knows what's best. And I want to chase him. And when I'm doing that, my life is as happy and as joyful as it can possibly be. Right? Now, in order to be that surrendered and to be that submitted, you have to be humble. Don't raise your hands. I was going to say, do we have any humble people in the building? I just imagine everybody's hand going up, right? Humility. Humility is being humble enough to admit that the Lord's way is the best way, even when we want to go our own way. Right? What are you doing today? Did you ask him? Well, no, it's Tuesday, and I always do this on Tuesday. Are you tracking with me at all? You know what I'm saying? How many times we get up, and it's our day, and it's our thing, and we've decided, here's where I'm going, and we have never even touched base with the Lord to say, is this what you have for me today? Right? So many times with our purchases, with our time, with even our relationships, we pursue and choose things because we like it, not because we ever ask the Lord, is this what you have for me? And it takes a humble person to set aside your own desires to pursue the desires that Jesus has for you. This is the heart of acceptable sin. It is choosing to cave or to give into what I want so I can eat the choice morsels. Instead of saying, I choose Jesus, I say, I choose me. And you guys, I do that all the time. And the Lord's trying to help me be better at that. And that's the whole point of this series, is to help you find a path where you will choose the Lord instead of just choosing yourself. Now, again, hear me today. You guys that have been through this enough, you know we have to follow the Spirit as we make our way through these topics. So I'm going to highlight some of the things that sometimes we skip over, and then I'm going to try to push you and I towards surrender. And I'm telling you, the more we choose to surrender, the more good there is to be gained. But He has to do the work, and you and I will have to be humble enough to let Him. So today and some of next week, I want to spend most of our time defining gossip from a biblical perspective. And next week, we're going to look a little bit more into what can be done about it. All right. I almost never do this, but you guys, I'm going to give you probably like 2 minutes today, okay? This is so dangerous. I probably should not do it, but I'm going to try to follow the Lord. What is your definition of gossip? What's your definition of gossip? Go ahead and turn and talk. Don't gossip. Turn and talk to your neighbors and kind of flesh it out for a second. What do you think gossip is? So give a couple minutes, and then I'm going to come back at you, all right? What is gossip? Do you guys need some help down there? Looks like you're quiet. Okay, let's see if we can start wrapping it up. I'll give you a few more seconds, but finish up. All right, let me hit you up with this first question here. Have you ever participated in gossip? First question, have you ever participated in gossip? Ray says no. It's good. You guys step away from Ray because we don't want you infecting him at all with your disease, okay? Most everybody in the room probably say, yeah, I have definitely participated in gossip before, whether listening or sharing or speaking or spreading. Yes, I have done it. Let me ask you the second thing. You don't have to raise your hand or speak out loud, but you're welcome to. Have you ever been hurt by gossip? There's a lot of vocal stuff there, yes, right? I think if most of us are honest, probably at some point we have been hurt by gossip, right? And I want to challenge you with that thought for just a second. If you know what it has done in your life and you've been hurt by it, let the Lord use that to help you decide, Lord, I got to be better, right? I don't want to be part of somebody else's hurt, so you have to help me avoid the choice morsels. Okay, everybody tracking that a little bit? All right. So I asked my coworkers, this was so interesting. We were at a technology meeting on a Friday, and at the end of the technology meeting, one of my coworkers, she just asked me, well, what are you doing this weekend? This was a few weeks ago. And I said, oh, I'm starting a series on gossip. And I mean, everybody's eyes just lit up. It was like, what? For one thing, they're like, oh, I forgot that Travis actually prepares messages every weekend. And then the second thing was, you're going to talk about what? And so we started asking for definitions and what qualifies. And one of my bosses was like, well, how in the world would you stop it? And I was like, well, you would speak. He goes, you would actually confront people? Oh, I don't know about that. It was really an interesting discussion. And I'm going to give her a little credit today. Her name is Katie. Katie gave a definition I thought was pretty good. And so you just gave some definitions, hopefully, to one another. And let's look at what Katie said. I thought it was pretty good. She says that gossip is when you give away information that does not belong to you or you have not been given permission to give away. All right? The way that a technology person might think about it is intellectual property. Actually, probably Todd has a lot of experience in this realm, right? Okay? Who owns the rights to the copyright? All right? So if I have a copyrighted piece of information, then and I share that with you, but I don't give you distribution rights, then are you allowed to share that information? No. Oh. Some of you are like, well, if you gave it to me, then you obviously knew that you had to give me distribution rights, because that's how I work. That's a condition of my employment, right? That's what I want you to think about today. I thought this was a pretty good way to frame it. And what we should try to do is allow people to share information that belongs to them and not take that choice away from them. So I'm going to give you a few considerations, and I hope that there'll be something that maybe will help you think about this morning. Some other considerations. Gossip. When your intent is to elevate yourself by harming the reputation of another. Is everybody trending with that type of gossip, right? I'm going to tell something about, let's go see who I was going to pick on. I'll pick on Isaiah. I'll pick on him all the time. I'm going to tell something about him that reveals a flaw in him, maybe just a subtle flaw, but by revealing that flaw, if I don't really have a problem in that area, then somebody might think a little less of him and maybe a little bit more of me. All right? Now, not all gossip is that way, but gossip can be that way. And if you're checking your motives and you're checking your conversation, you need to see is what is my intent by sharing this information. Here's another one that I really appreciate, and this is something Mrs. Penn is really good about reminding me about too. And that is when you speak something behind someone else's back, right? Have you ever done this? Have you ever been either driving or you're talking with someone or walking with someone and you're having a conversation and then all of a sudden you go to check your phone just to make sure that that person isn't listening, that you don't have it accidentally dialed their number? I guess the preacher's the only one that does that. Do you know what I'm saying? Because you're like, oh man, if they heard the conversation I was having right now, it would be so embarrassing, or they would be so upset and so hurt. And so a good test is if you are saying something about someone, would you be saying it in their presence, right? And if you wouldn't, that's the idea of backbiting, the idea that we would speak something about someone else behind their back. Augustine, one of our church fathers, I thought this was so good. This is a story from him. It says, Augustine encouraged conversation at meals, but with a strictly enforced rule that the character of an absent person should never be negatively discussed. And he had a warning to this effect carved on a plaque attached to his table. Hey, if you're going to come in and we're going to talk about, we can talk about people, but if they're not present, guess what? Nothing negative. If you want to talk negative, you go someplace else. Now, you guys, I'm going to be real honest with you. I think that's probably a pretty good practice. Amen? If we're sitting down there in the family room and somebody wants to start talking about somebody that's not even here today and that some of the things they're saying are maybe a little bit not of the best reflection, we could say, hey, they're not here right now, but if you want to bring it up the next time around, that'd be great. Right? And again, we can use a right kind of tone and judgment that we could really make a good impact on one another in this method. Next thing I want you to see here, and I believe this is the biggest thing about it, motive is the key when identifying gossip. All right? Now, you got to hang with me on this one, but I think I've got it. You just bear with me here. For example, sometimes gossip can be used to build a false trust by sharing secrets that should not be shared. I know something that you don't. So if I share it with you, then in a weird way, you might let me into your circle because I shared my secret with you. But what I would say to you today, in reality, do you want someone who is sharing secrets to be in your close circle of friends? Do you follow me with all what I'm saying? Let me help you out just a little bit, right? Like, I know something about Susan, and I'm going to tell you that when Ray finds this out, he is not going to believe it about her. But I may say, Ray, you're not going to believe this, but I want to share something with you. And I won't share it with everybody. I'm just going to share it with Ray. Because if I share it with Ray, that he's going to, oh, that Travis really likes me a lot. He will take his special secret that he's not sharing with everybody, and he will share it with me. And then all of a sudden, it's like, okay, we're kind of building this trust over hurting someone else. But if you think about it, isn't that kind of the craziest thing? Do you really want friends in your circle who are talking bad about other people? Because you know what they're doing about you when you're not in the room? You're there. Hear the Lord. Be careful with gossip and especially with your motives. And that's where we need the Holy Spirit to help us, especially when it comes to prayer requests and gossip, right? In our prayer times, we want to pray for people that are in need, right? But we need to be really careful that it doesn't become something more than it needs to be, amen? I've shared this a few times. You guys bear with this, and I'll share it some more to you. If you're given a prayer request and you're going to share the sin, don't share the sinner. I'm not going to name names, but we had someone this morning that did that very thing in the right way, and I was really proud of them, right? I'm really concerned about someone who is really dealing with this kind of addiction. I'm not naming their name because you don't need to know their name, but I'm really concerned about that situation, all right? And the flip side then is also true, okay? I have a friend named Jerry. My friend Jerry is going through a difficult time. If you're going to name the sinner, then don't name the what? You don't need to name. We don't need to know Jerry's sins. We don't need to know all of his struggle. And it's not going to help him or us to know all the junk. But I can say Jerry's having a hard time. Pray for my friend Jerry. So if you're naming the sinner, don't name the sin. If you're going to name the sin, don't name the sinner. Okay? That helps us a lot with this idea of gossip, okay? Hear me out this morning. Next thing, some of you are going to disagree with this. I know you are. Gossip does not have to be false to be gossip. I can't believe you're saying that. Well, it's true. If it's true, I can say it, right, Kimmy? No, you can't. Isn't that how we work sometimes? Well, I'm only saying what's true. I'm not saying false. I have firsthand reporting, right? Now, much of the time, I would think that a lot, it's kind of expanded. It's kind of a version of the truth, right? And sometimes it's flat out false. If it's flat out false, we call that slander. That's when you slander someone, you lie about them, okay? But gossip, just because it is true, doesn't make it okay to be spread. And here's the last considerations before we kind of move into some more biblical definitions. And that is, some translations of the Bible translate the word gossip as what? Whisperer. I think it was ESV that I was reading last night. And in Proverbs, most of the places, instead of a gossip, it said a whisperer. That already gives you a clue into what a gossip is, right? It's not something that it's proclaiming for the edification of everyone around. It's someone who is looking for a little bit of a way to navigate a story and to hide some of it, to whisper it, so they can gain some benefit out of it. Again, that love for choice morsels. All right, so far this has just been a lot of penology that you're hearing this morning. Let's get to what we really want to get to. Right before that, I want to take one more look at a dictionary definition, and then we're going to look at what the Bible has to say about it. A dictionary definition of gossip. It is a casual or unconstrained conversation or reports about other people, typically involving details that are not confirmed as being true. Right? That's your dictionary definition. But enough of these kind of things. What does the Bible say about gossip? Does the Bible have anything to say about gossip? It says a lot. We could go down a whole rabbit hole of just talking about how to control your tongue and the damage and the power of words. But literally, the Bible speaks about gossips and gossip itself. We're going to start out a little bit with some Proverbs verses that I thought were very powerful. And again, our first verse this morning is also a Proverbs verse. If you want to, turn to Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 13. Proverbs 11, 13, the Bible says, a gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret, right? So here, a gossip is defined as someone who betrays a confidence. I tell you something, expecting you to keep it close to the vest, but instead you share it, and therefore you lose trust. That is the idea of gossip. Now, your preacher has to be, you guys, if you haven't learned this already, please learn this now. I'm just putting it out there, okay? I'm one of the most transparent people on the planet, and that is really bad when it comes to secrets, okay? Because if you don't tell me it's a secret, my assumption is usually you're just being transparent. And if you're being that transparent with me, you must be that transparent with everyone. Everybody's now saying, I will never tell the preacher another word in my life, okay? I value transparency. I think transparency is a very high, I think it's important to see that your church leaders are not perfect and that they struggle and that they're trying to serve the Lord. And so to me, I live a very open life. You guys want to come check my internet history, look at my YouTube algorithm, come sit in my house for a week, you're welcome, all right? Come be a part of my life, I'll let you see it. Mrs. Penn is like, no, you cannot, okay? But you can see here that there is a value in keeping a confidence and keeping a trust, right? Some of you have been very clear with me and you said, Pastor, I love you, but if you tell any of my medical information to anyone else, it will be the end of you. And so I've tried really hard to remember that that person said this to me, and so therefore, I'm locking that information up on their behalf so that I can keep their confidence and not betray their trust. A gossip does just the opposite, don't they, right? They get the information, and they're like, can't wait to tell it, right? Oh, man, wait till Kimmy. I keep picking on Kimmy all morning. Sorry, Kimmy. Wait till she hears what I have to say about this. She's gonna pass out when she hears this choice morsel. I don't think Gibby's a gossip, but she gave me a hard time Wednesday, so I'm giving it back, all right? A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person, what do? They keep a secret, all right? Gossips choose to misuse the information they have been entrusted with. Look at the next Proverbs, Proverbs 16 and verse 28. A perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip does what? Mr. Cimbala was right on the money, wasn't he right? What tears down the church? The gossip. Because the church should be a family. It should be a whole group of close friends and people that are bonded in friendship. But a gossip separates close friends, right? Oh, man, it really can it, right? And again, this is where, are you going to be perfect? Are you going to mess up times? Yes, sometimes you're going to mess up. When you do, you need to be honest and repent and make things right to the best of your ability, okay? But a gossip will destroy a relationship. And why? That's why we have to be very careful. We're going to talk next week even a little bit more about our Fruit Baptist covenant. And one of the things we were going over with Laura and Isaiah the last few weeks was that we are duty-bound to protect one another's happiness and reputation. That's one of the things that's an expectation for membership, that we would be careful of each other. And a gossip does just the opposite. All right. Again, friendship is built on trust, but gossip destroys trust. As you consider sharing information about others, think about this. Am I building up or tearing down trust? That's a pretty simple question, but it might save a lot of problems down the road, right? Oh, I heard this about so-and-so. I want to share this with so-and-so. Well, maybe not, right? I'm not going to name any names, but I was around someone earlier this year, and I was so proud of them. Or proud of two people, actually. One person said, I don't know if they would really want that shared. Would you be bold enough to say that? You're sitting around a table, and somebody's talking about something, and another person says, I don't really know if they want that shared. Well, I was pretty impressed with that person. But I was even more impressed with the person who was talking, who thought about it for just a second. They were ready to defend themselves. And then instead of defending themselves, you know what they did? That's probably good advice. I want to keep my trust with this person, so I'm not going to share that information about that person. I was like, yeah, that's awesome, right? I wish I was that good. I was proud of both of them because one person recognized, oh, this isn't right. Instead of defending themselves, they did the right thing. And the other person was strong enough to call it out. All right, next one, Proverbs 20, verse 19. Again, the same first phrase, you saw this just two ago. A gossip betrays a confidence, but look at the second part. So avoid anyone who does what? Teresa and I just went, uh-oh. Right? What is the problem there? Well, let me walk you through this for just a second. Again, we see the same phrase about betraying confidence, but this time we see another way to help us identify a gossip. Are they just wanting to hear themselves talk? Boy, a lot of smiles in the room right now. Right? I don't know. I just got nothing else to do, so I'm going to start talking. Here's what I know. Did you know this about this? And did you know this about that? Did you know this about this? Be careful about what you share around those people. Can you be around those people? Yes, right? Absolutely. But you need to be careful about what you're sharing in the presence of people who love to hear themselves talk, because there's a high probability that what you share will be shared elsewhere. So make sure you have the copyright to the information that you can distribute it before you share it when you're around someone who just loves to hear themselves talk. Again, avoid, Scripture says, anyone who talks too much. Look in Proverbs 26:20. Oh, this is so good. This is where we're going to be more time next week. Without wood, a fire goes out, and without a gossip, a quarrel dies down. You know what would be awesome in this place? Somebody comes in here and they want to destroy someone's character or talk bad about someone, and every person that they try to talk to in this church says, they're not here to defend themselves. I don't really want to hear that right now. And if they heard that two or three times, that would be the end of that. Amen? Without wood, what happens to the fire? It's not going to burn, right? Without a listening ear, without someone pursuing a choice morsel, the gossip, it will go away and the quarrel will die down. The best way to stop gossip is not to listen. To actually confront a person who is betraying a confidence. I know that's a hard thing. But here's a few questions you may want to use when you think about confronting gossip. First thing, and again, do this with the right tone, with the right attitude, not some sort of judgmental thing, but trying to make things right. Number one, can you verify what you are sharing? If it's just like, well, I heard it from so-and-so, heard it from so-and-so, so I bet it's probably, just be quiet. Right? If you can't verify it, why are you passing along anyways? Okay, that's an important thing. Second thing, would they really want you to share this? Are you okay with them being in the room? Third thing, would you say this in front of them? What you're about to share with someone else, if they were here, would you be like, yeah, I would speak this very thing if they were here? And then the fourth thing I think is really powerful to me, is this making anything better? Is this helping anyone? Right? Listen up, you guys. Let the Lord speak to your heart this morning. Is it helping anybody? Or is it just making you feel good because you can share it? If it's not helping anybody, let it go. Proverbs aren't the only scriptures teach about gossip. Just a couple more this morning. Psalm 101, verse 5. Whoever slanders their neighbor in secret, I will put to silence. Whoever has haughty eyes and a proud heart, I will not tolerate. You can see how the Lord views a gossip and a slanderer. He is not going to tolerate it. It is the whisperer sharing something that should not be shared. It does not edify. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13. Here Paul is writing to Timothy about widows and young widows specifically. And here's what he says, verse 13. Besides, they get into the habit of being idle and going about from house to house. And not only do they become idlers, but also busybodies who talk nonsense, saying things they ought not to say. They ought not to, right? Are you tracking with that? These young widows, they didn't have other occupations, and so they would be moving from house to house, and as they went to those houses, they just shared conversation. And so they would take this piece of information from this house and go to the next house and the next house and the next house. And Paul says, they need to have purpose in their life. Here's a reminder that we should pursue the positive, and as we do, we'll be less tempted by the negative. Are you about the work your Father has for you to do? If you are on task and you're trying to do what the Lord has you to do and pursuing that, gossip's a whole lot harder to get engaged in because you just don't have time for it. I got stuff to do. I don't need to hear all this stuff. I have things that matter. I have things that are going to build people up. I don't need to do this right now. Last thing I want to share with you about from a scripture perspective, Romans chapter 1, verse 29. This passage is such a reminder that God will give us over to his wrath if we don't receive his son. And we saw this back in the fall. We did a whole series on wrath. But look with me in verse 29, 30. This is the third time the Bible says God gave them over, God gave them over. And here it is, God gave them up. It says, they have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. In this whole passage, we see a list of things that God finally gives a depraved culture over to. And you'll notice things there like murder, like God haters. But did you notice at the very end of verse 29, what word is there? Look at the power of that word. Like, this is how terrible it fits. It's in this other category, these other things, is the word gossip. It's truly a terrible vice and highly underestimated in the damage that it can do. And I know you're getting the idea by now. So next week, we're going to look at some biblical examples a little bit of how gossip might work, and then we're going to turn our focus on what we really should be doing from a positive perspective. But just to give you something to cling to, maybe a little bit of hope and something that you may, if it's not already highlighted in your Bible, a good one to highlight for you today, I want you to think on Psalm 19, verse 14. Let's look at that together briefly. The Bible says, may these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be what? Pleasing in your sight. Lord, my rock and my redeemer, right? Lord, be happy with my words. And that's what I want to challenge you for this week and next week as we think about this topic. And so a few questions are going to come to mind here in just a moment. Is God happy with your words and your meditation? Final illustration today is from Ramona Tucker. In today's Christian woman, Ramona Tucker writes, my friend Michelle admits to being caught in a nasty situation. While at a restaurant over lunch, Michelle and her coworker, Sharon, stopped in the restroom to fix their makeup before returning to their jobs. Well, their small talk turned to the subject of who drove them crazy. Immediately, Michelle launched into a 2-minute diatribe about Beth, a mutual coworker. As Michelle prepared to divulge more specifics, a stall door opened and out walked Beth, red-faced and angry. In a split second, what had seemed like a pressure relief session turned into an awkward mess. Michelle and Beth stared at each other in embarrassed panic. Michelle knew she couldn't take her words back. In the instant their eyes met, Beth fled out the door. That afternoon, Beth didn't return to work. And the next day, Michelle heard through the grapevine that Beth had resigned. While other staff members openly cheered what seemed to be good news, Michelle felt miserable. She wished she would have talked to Beth instead of talking about Beth. Let me pause just right there. Did you catch that? She wished she would have talked to Beth instead of talking about Beth. We'll get more into that next week. Although that situation happened 5 years ago, Michelle's never forgotten it. She tried to reach Beth several times by phone, then wrote her a letter of apology, but Beth never responded. Michelle says she too learned her lesson about loose lips the hard way. Here's what I want you to take with you. What's worse is that Michelle is a Christian and Beth, to her knowledge, is not. Oh, right? Like, a lot of times I think of gossip in a church context, but this is gossip in a corporate context. And here, she may have done damage to someone coming to Christ because she was not willing to talk to her, but she wanted to talk about her. The simple question I have for you today is not, are you gossiping? Instead, this is my question for you today. Does Jesus have all of you? Do you know what I mean? This is the whole thing with acceptable sins, right? Jesus can have my Sunday mornings. He can have my time to go down to work on the homeless. He might even get a few Wednesday nights. He can have a devotional verse of the day once in a while. He can have a little time I'm listening to my Christian music in the car. But these other times, this is my time, right? You ever have that kind of, this is my time? And that's what I want to ask you about this whole series. We're going to go through it throughout the year at different times, and we're going to highlight different acceptable sins. But this is the question. Does he have all of you? And I think a lot of times he doesn't. He has a lot of us. He has what we think maybe are some of the most important things, but does he have all of you? Are you choosing what he says is best or what you want? Will you give up the choice morsels of gossip to truly feast at the king's table? You didn't get that, because if you did, you would be lighting up. Choice morsels may be nice, but it's nothing compared to feasting at Jesus' table. Hello? And maybe we don't get there all the time, but if you've ever been there for a little bit and felt the joy of the Lord as you were empowered through him to do exactly what he wanted you to do, sorry, keep your pizza and even your Penn Station cookies. I choose Jesus, and I want to be at his table. That's better than any choice morsel. And we have to push each other there, don't we, right? And sometimes if all we have before us are the choice morsels, we don't recognize that there's this other room that has all this better stuff, because we're just kind of trapped and surrounded by all this other thing. We don't go there, right? And so we have to encourage each other to make our way to the king's table. So my encouragement to you today is to surrender and to submit. And I promise you, God will reward us as we do these things. Let's stand this morning.